Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open up to 2 Samuel, chapter number 21, 2 Samuel, and chapter number 21 in the Word of God today, 2 Samuel, chapter number 21, and for those of you who are visiting with us, we've been in a series now entitled The Heroes of the Faith. The Heroes of the Faith, and over the last 20 weeks now, we've been looking at different life stories. Came through the life of Moses for some time, and then over the past 9 weeks, we begin to look at, kind of in a verse-by-verse context, looking at the life of Esther. And there's no doubt in these passages of Scripture, these heroes of the faith, they're incredible. And boy, there is so much that you and I can glean from them. But as we look at these heroes of the faith, there are sometimes some heroes in there that aren't quite like the ones we've been looking at. There are those like Moses that have entire chapters of the Word of God that are devoted to them. We look at the life of David and others. 50-some chapters are given to his life, not including all of the Psalms that are written about his life. Or we may even look at the lives of some females like Esther that would have an entire book of the Bible that's named after them. But every once in a while, there are those... Well, there are those heroes of the faith that they kind of squeeze in there. There's a lot of times stories in the Word of God that there are some of those men and women that have one verse that is devoted to them. There are some that don't even give us their life story. There are some that are in there. We don't know their family tree. We don't know their background. We don't know much about them. But oftentimes in our life, when we look at a hero of the faith, there are those times and those moments that we feel like, man, I'll never be a Moses. I can never be an Esther. I'll never be a Jacob. I'll never be an Esau. There's no way I'll be a Samuel. And yet, when we look at their lives, we almost feel distant from them. But there are moments in the Word of God where we begin to peek in at humanity. And historically speaking, we can say, I know him. I can be that person. The heroes of the faith, would you stand with me as we look at 2 Samuel chapter number 21? And I want us for the next couple of moments to tune in to 2 Samuel 21. Would you follow along as I read, beginning at verse number 15? 2 Samuel 21, would you look with me at verse number 15? The Bible says this. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down with his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. Watch the last part of this verse, verse number 15. And David waxed faint. Verse number 16. And Ishbibinob, which was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, being girded with a new sword, thought to have killed David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Verse number 18. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle of the Philistines at Gob. And then Sibbecai the Hushathite slew Saph, which was one of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, and Elhanan, the son of Jeorajim, the Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, yet, watch now, another battle, and there was a man of great stature. This is a true story. Check out verse number 20. That had on every hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes. 24 in number, and he was born after to the giant. And when he defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimea, brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. For the next couple of moments, I'm going to look at this passage of Scripture and preach a message today entitled, A Mighty Warrior. I want us for the next couple of moments to look at a mighty warrior, the story of Abishai. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for the music today. Father, thank you, Lord, just how uplifting it's been to, Father, sing these hymns. And Lord, for just a moment ago, these young ladies have stood up and begin to proclaim you and to sing about you. Thank you, Savior, for a younger generation, Father, that is able to sing about the goodness of God. Father, I ask, Lord, that we'd burn that in our hearts today. Savior, we could blow through this prayer and daydream, thinking about where we're sitting, thinking about maybe still trying to find the passage of Scripture, thinking about Abishai, thinking about the grocery list, or perhaps where we're going to eat this afternoon, or we could tune in. Father, I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would begin to speak to us right now. Father, may we realize that there is a spiritual battle that is taking place all above us and around us, fighting for our minds, fighting for our hearts, fighting for our kids and grandkids, fighting for our marriages, fighting for our souls. So I ask now, Father, we put off the foolishness of this past week, the bitterness that's in our heart, the argument that we had, the Father, the attitude of, Lord, let's get out of here as quickly as we can. No, Father, may we tune in and listen to you. Father, may we tune in and realize this is for us today. May that be our prayer. Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd give me the words to say, hide me behind the cross. May we see you in this passage of Scripture. We love you, Father. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We come across a passage of Scripture like this. The first name that sticks out to us that we know very well is a man by the name of David. We tune into the story of David. There's no doubt since his introduction to us in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, right after chapter 15, where Saul had sinned, and because of rebellion, the kingdom is taken from him. And so in chapter number 16, we're introduced to this David. And no doubt the life of David, we know very well the period of his life when he's introduced to us of slaying a lion and slaying a bear and then going out onto that battlefield and crying out to all the men that were there watching this Goliath out there slamming the name of God. And he walks out and uses that phrase that we use so often, is there not a cause? And we know that story of David very well, the story where he goes on the run, the story of him and Saul battling back and forth, the story of his friendship with Jonathan, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of his younger life that we look at, even the sin of Bathsheba when he was a young king, and we concentrate a lot of time on those passages of Scripture. But as we come across this passage, David at this point in his life is a much older gentleman. There's no doubt this is a much older warrior. This is a much older shepherd. This is a much older king. And in this passage of Scripture, we are going to begin to look at really three different types of groups that we can find in this passage of Scripture. We look at a mighty warrior. I want us to first of all look at this. Number one, the experienced. Number one, let's look at the experienced. David at this point, historians tell us, is probably around the age of 60 to 70 years old. The average age that most historians put him here would be the age of 65. His heart was telling him that he could be on the battlefield, and yet his body at this point was not keeping up. Look at verse number 15 and watch what the Bible says. It says, moreover, the Philistines, these are the enemies, yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. The end of this verse says this, and David waxed faint. He was old. He began to get very tired. He began to get weary. Oftentimes in our life, as we age and as we get older, some of you already know where we're going with this, your mind tells you that you can be there. Your mind is telling you that you are young. Your heart is still in a battle, or your heart is still in life. And yet, in life, oftentimes, our bodies do not keep up anymore. This past week was spring break, and my family and I went down to see my parents. And as we're down visiting my parents, there were some cousins that were there. And when my kids and their cousins get together, the decibels go up, and it gets loud. Little girls and kids are running around everywhere. And we were out there in the Pensacola area. And as we're out there running around, the kids are playing freeze tag. Some of you remember the old days of putting down YouTube for a little bit and playing, yes, sir, freeze tag. And as they're playing, they begin to freeze and freeze. And finally, they're starting to get tired. They're starting to get, this game's getting old. So I said, hey, Dad, why don't you come out and play with us? I said, yeah, all right, kids. And it took me a little bit longer to get out of that chair that I was sitting in, but I got out there, and bless God, I'm 38 years old. You kids are going to be tagged here in about 30 seconds. I'm going to make you all weep. I get out there, and all these little kids, about 11 of them, running around. Let me tell you, Brian, my heart was in there. But Titus, my mind was in there. But my body was not keeping up. And after about 5 minutes of my blood pressure going up and my heart beating and trying to act like I'm not tired and cracking my back both ways and thinking these little brats are a lot faster than I remember, I begin to sympathize with David. Hey, I can be in this battle. I got this. And that was the heart of David. I'm okay. I'm going to get in. I'm going to jump in. And friend, may you and I just want to pause right here and say, may this always be our attitude. No matter what age or stage of life you and I are in, may we always have the heart that David had here, because you and I are on this earth. You and I are not like Paul, as Paul said at the end of his life, I have fought a good fight, I have kept, finished my course, I have kept the faith. No, you and I are not part of the great cloud of witnesses. You and I are still here. You and I love about an older generation, you and I love about the experience, is those, that age group, they comprehend that life goes very fast. The experienced that are out there and have been in the battle for many years, they begin to comprehend that now that they're in the fourth quarter of their life, or really some may even be in overtime, they begin to write or begin to say or have the mindset, as the psalmist said, the days of our years are 70 years, if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength in labor and sorrow, for it soon, watch now, shall be cut off, and we fly away. The psalmist said, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. You and I, we don't know how many days we have left. You and I can't comprehend. We don't know if we're going to walk out of this auditorium. You don't know, and I know, if we're going to come back tonight at 6 o'clock. James put it like this, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even but a vapor. Check it out now. That appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. You and I are not guaranteed another day. We're not guaranteed another moment. That means you and I are to number our days. We're to make every moment, every minute, every day that you and I have is a blessing. May it count for Christ. For all the young ladies that sang up here just a couple of moments ago, and to a younger generation, college students that are here, and high school students that are in this room, and middle school students, let me address you just for a moment. Now, hold on, listen. Did you know in 2021, on average, think about this, in the U.S., listen, young person, on average last year, preteens would spend 4 hours a day watching YouTube. College students, on average, would spend 7.22 hours a day viewing entertainment on their phone. Almost 7.5 hours a day last year, college students spent on entertainment on their phone. The average teenager today will spend 3+ hours on TikTok. Young person, comprehend this. We can spend 17 minutes getting a story on our Instagram just right. We can spend that much time, 17 minutes on average, going through a filter and getting the words just right. And yet we don't have 5 minutes to talk to our Savior in prayer. You and I have got to comprehend, life is short. It goes by fast. Are you with me today? Somebody help me out. Amen. You and I have to comprehend, life is but a vapor. It's here, and then it's gone. And the older I get, the more I begin to realize, wow, it goes by so quickly. If you're here today, and you're in your 50s, and your 60s, and 70s, and some in their 80s in this room, possibly one or two in their 90s, can I say this? You realize the time that is behind you. You realize that life was short, and man, your time in the service, and then your time being married, and now your time with grandkids, and for some even grandkids, it went by so quickly. But what I love about the experience, what I love about those who have been in the fight for a long time, you know what I love about them is that they are still fighting. There's men and women in this room, I thank God for them. Been in the battlefield for a long time. I say often I've used Bob and Wilma as an illustration and so many others of marriages that 50 plus years have been together. Let me tell you something, friend. Don't you give up and quit now. There is a younger generation that needs you to stay in the fight. Somebody help me out. Amen. Don't you give up now. There are those who have been in the fight for a long time, and what I love about that generation is they're still fighting. What I love about the passionate foes of this world is they haven't given up. They haven't looked around. And, well, things aren't like the 60s and 70s anymore. Well, we got disrespectful kids, and boy, America's going to pot, and boy, politicians are corrupt. And you know, what I love about the men and women like Eric Miller that sits in the back is what they're showing a younger generation is no matter how corrupt the Democrats and Republicans get, no matter how corrupt the United States get, no matter how bad and morally bankrupt we become, it is time to continue to fight. It's still time to hold the banner high. This is not a time to sit back, relax, hit the golf course and be done. No, what I love about David and his life was that he was still fighting. But you know what I also love about the experienced? You know what I love about those who have been in the battle for a long time? Is they're still fighting, check it out, the right enemy. You know what I love about it? Hold on, don't go to the next one. Well, that was point number two. We'll get there in just a minute. It's okay, Brother Jim. Don't you worry about it. You just gave my point away. But well, we're gonna be there. And I did say enemy, and that was my cue. So that's totally my fault. But nonetheless, what I love about the enemy here is they're fighting the right enemy. Verse number 15, look at it with me. Look how this passage of Scripture, look how it begins. It says this, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. It didn't say Israel was fighting Israel or Philistines were fighting Philistines. With the experience, what they have is they're still fighting, but they're fighting the right enemy. David knew who his enemy was. It was not Israel. It was not his brothers and comrades, his brothers and his comrades. It was not those that you wore his uniform. No, he understood the enemy and who they were. It's amazing to me, those in 2022 that are still fighting, and they're not fighting the forces of Satan. They're not fighting the darkness of this world. They're not fighting against the things and the wickedness of the day. No, no, no. They comprehend, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm going to heaven. But it is amazing to me, the worship wars of today and the standards wars and the preference wars and the popularity wars and Christians fighting Christians and Christians upset with other Christians. And it's amazing to me, the bitterness and the time that goes in to hurt feelings and not being treated right and my music versus your music and my version versus your version. And it's almost like this. It's almost like we become God's little G and we begin to fight each other. I want to remind us, Cross Point Baptist Church, if you and I are saved, you and I have the same God. His name is Jesus, and we ought to rally around the very Word of God and hold it high, and let this be our final authority. Let the Word of God take us forward. Let you and I tune in to what He has to say for us. Look around you, friend. Our battle is not with each other. Our battle, our fight is against Satan and his foes. And while we're looking at each other and we're looking to make sure everybody aligns up and everybody has my standard and everybody has my preference and everybody goes to my Bible college that I support and everybody worships God the way that I feel like they ought to worship. Hold on just a minute. While you and I are concentrated on each other, there is an Indianapolis area that is dying and going to hell, and the only one who's getting the victory when you and I are fighting the wrong enemy is Satan himself. We should stand for it. I love the passage of scripture in Ephesians that says, "For we wrestle not," check it out, "for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Fighting the right enemy is understanding, check it out, the reality of the fight. The reality of the fight is this. When David was on that battlefield, hold on, it got real, real fast. You ever been in a situation where something happened, all of a sudden, like life became really real? Some of you are thinking through. You got something. I remember being in college, and my first year is up in the Seattle area before I went to Bible college. And while I was up there, some guys at college came in and said they were paintballing. They wanted me to go paintballing. I never been paintballing before, so yeah, good old Southern boy, let's do it. Let's get in there. What I need, I don't have a paintball gun. I said, oh, we got a paintball gun for you. They gave me, look, true story, they gave me a paintball gun. This thing is awesome. I mean, you put the paintballs in up top, and you pull this little spring back, and you shoot, and the paintball comes out, and you pull that spring back again, and you shoot. I mean, I'm like, these guys are awesome. Thank you so much. What I need to wear? Wear dark clothes. You're going to be in the woods, all right? This is back in the turtleneck days. You might remember turtlenecks, and I had a black turtleneck, so that'll work. I said, what else? They said, oh, you know, Dirk, you've been there. You need something to protect your eyes. You don't want to get your eyes shot out. Well, I didn't have anything except I used to weed eat a lot, and so I had some goggles that I wore while I was weed eating. So I thought, well, this will work. If I get hit in the eye, that I'm going to be fine. I show up my little spring-loaded gun, my black turtleneck, and my little goggles on. When I got out there, these dudes were like the Marines. They're decked out in camo. Yeah, I couldn't. I can't even, until they start moving, I can see their white teeth. I didn't even know I was talking to them. They look like a tree. I'm sitting there with my little gun, you know, shooting. And the guy, I never forget, man, he takes his pot out of the back and he dumps it in and he throws the pot on the ground. He takes his gun and goes, brrrr, bink, that's me. You could hear me in the woods, bink. Bink, mine would do like this. Mine wouldn't reach the back wall. This guy's, man, life got seriously real. I had to go to the bathroom for 2 hours. You know what I mean? Like, I'm out of here. I'm out. I got my goggles on. I got full mask. Life got real. Can I put it this way? When David got on that battlefield, the battle became real, friend. Ishbibi Nob, who we're introduced to, the dude's a giant. The dude steps in. This is not, they're not going to play around. This is not paintball. This is not Nerf Force. No. David, to him at this moment, this was real. This was a battle. The Bible puts it this way, and knowing that it's now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The reality of the fight is this, you and I have an enemy. And if there's anything that you and I could ever learn from an older generation, if there was ever anything you and I could learn from the experiences at this, that Satan is after our homes, and he's after our families, and he's after our churches, and he's after our young kids, and the reality of the fight is there are some that are just, hold on, they're just playing around. They're playing church. They're playing life. They're playing their marriage. They're playing like, well, it's no big deal. No. The reality of the fight, watch now, is that we have to have some Christians today that are going to stay in the battle. Yes. But we have to know who we're fighting. I would encourage a younger generation, find somebody that is older and counsel with them. Just talk to them. Ask questions. Say, well, I did that, and boy, they just harp on a generation, and they don't like millennials, and they don't like our kids, and they don't like Gen Z, and they don't understand why, and they can't comprehend, and everything's a slippery slope. Okay, hold on. Find somebody in your life that's just an encouragement and stands on the Word of God. Because I'm telling you, it'll change your life. I never forget being a young pastor. I was 26 years old, and I began to pastor our first church, and I remember there was this time, I think it was an email, it was a letter one that came through. Man, I was young, and Carrie, you remember this well. I got so upset over this letter. Oh, my goodness, this lady just chewing me up and down and all this, and you said this, and I'm telling you, like, I think it broke out in hives just about. It just wrecked me. I'm like, oh, my, I don't know what to do, and oh, I didn't know I said it in this, and they're so upset, and just, I can't remember what it was now. It's how crazy it was a long time ago, and it's so funny that I called an older pastor, like a pastor to fill my life. His name was Wayne Holder. At this time, he's in his late 70s. He had been in ministry, a pastor for many, many, many years, and really good friends with a pastor in North Carolina, and I called him and said, Pastor, I got to meet you right now. I'm falling apart. I need you. And so he meets me, and Tudor's Biscuit World was really big in West Virginia. And you know, exit 42, you can get off there. The biscuits are huge. I said, meet me at Tudor's Biscuit World. I gotta tell you. So we get coffee and we sit down, and Pastor Holder told me later on that he really thought somebody had died or there was sin in the camp or like something had happened. He didn't know. And I said, damn, like, oh, you gotta read this, like, read this. I just don't know what to do. This is just, oh, my life's falling apart. Just read it. And I remember him reading it. And all of a sudden, true story, I never forget, he got this little grin in the side of his face. I remember being like, he agrees with her. He starts grinning. He's looking at it. Puts it down, folds it up, slides it back across. He goes, oh, this is easy. I think, no. It's not, see the hives? Like, this is not, oh, yeah, yeah. That was the advice from an older pastor, younger. Oh, yeah, this is easy. She's not your enemy. Oh, this is easy. Oh, it's all right. This will blow over. No, this is a storm. This is your luck, Lenod. We're going to die. The whole church is going to split. No, this is easy. You know what I need in my life? Was the experienced. Somebody look at me, son, it's gonna be okay. Don't let this lady get under your skin. No. Satan will use and Satan will get in. No, you just let it go. You just let it. The experience, understand, they're still fighting. I'm going to say it again. And I got to move quickly now. But friend, if you're in this room today and you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, I'm not calling you old. I'm calling you experienced. I'm saying this. You got to turn off the news for a little while, and you got to get with some younger married people and some of these teenagers that were sitting up here. Let me tell you something, and we don't need to know that there's another Omicron or there's COVID coming through and 20 million people are going to die. We don't need to hear what the president did. We think he's sick. We think this happened. And we don't need to hear red versus blue, and we don't need any racist comments. Yo, we don't need, well, that's it. Now, boy, if you could have just lived in the Andy Griffith days, things were perfect. You know what we need? We need some older people to stand up and say, this Bible is still worth fighting for. Your marriage will get through. Your kids are not, they're not perfect and they never will be. We need some older generation to stand up and say, no matter what comes our way, no matter what Satan throws at us, we have an undefeated God that is still seated on the throne, and we can still come into His house, and we can lift hands, and we can worship Him, and we don't have to fight each other, and we don't have to beat each other's throat, and we don't have to do everything how we want it to be. No, we need an older generation that will be in the fight and comprehend that, hey, this Bible is worth fighting for, and this pulpit needs pastors in it, and we still need to send missionaries, and we still need to sing the good old hymns, and we need to come in and praise and worship to the God who is worthy, friend. That's what we need. That's what we need. No, first of all, we see the experience, but number two, you already knew this, number two is the enemy. It's the enemy. Look at verse number 16. Check this out. And Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant. Now we're talking about Goliath. We're talking about Goliath's kid. The weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass. How much is that? It's heavy. in weight, being girded with a, this is a huge deal, a new sword, thought to have slain David. Now pause right here. David had fought these Philistines before. David has been on the battlefield. He's coming off because he is tired. Now he's going to meet the enemy. This, can you imagine having a son and his name is Ish-bibenob? In my mind, I think, here's David, he's tired, he goes off, he is melting, he is hot, he is tired, he's 65, he can't even pick it up, his sword anymore, he's probably got Gatorade coming over to him, like, hey, you're going to be okay, king, you got this, he's in, and then this giant steps on the scene. In my mind, it probably went something like this: David, my name is Ish-bibenob. And you're killing my father. Okay, that's just me. It's not in the Bible. But to me, that's kind of how it went, okay? And here's Ish-bibenob. And he steps on the scene. Some of you don't even get that. Don't you even worry about it. Don't go Google it later. David, check it out, had fought the Philistines before. He knew this enemy. He looked in the eyes. He had fought Goliath years ago. David remembered the battlefield. David remembered the laughing brothers. He remembered Saul's armor that wouldn't fit. He remembered the 5 smooth stones that he went over and he picked up. He remembered Goliath's heavy sword. He remembered the cheer of the Israelites. David remembered this family. This great victory we're talking 50 years ago. There was great victory, and yet, here's the enemy. Yet, here's the same family tree. Here is this man who has decided once again, it's payback time. Crosspoint family, the devil keeps coming back. The enemy is not done. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That means this. Watch. Satan is not impressed with your past accomplishments. Just because we did great things in the past does not mean it's over. Just because we've had a renewed marriage, just because a wayward teenager came back, just because we've done really well up until April 1st to be in the Word of God. Listen, Satan is not impressed with the past accomplishments. No, no. This is where an older generation can get lost, dreaming about the days that used to be, and dreaming about the revivals we used to have, and dreaming about the independent fundamental Baptist days that we used to see, and dreaming about the moral majority and thinking about past accomplishments. Are we thankful for past accomplishments? Yes. Are we thankful that David slew Goliath? Without a doubt. But let me tell you something, friend. Just because you and I have seen moments where, man, we've had success, and man, we're making headway, I want to remind us today that the enemy is not done. Yeah, but if we only get so-and-so elected, we'll be good. How many times have we heard that? Well, if we could just bring gas prices down. Well, if we could just, well, the economy. Well, this, well, that. Let me tell you something, friend. Hey, at Crosspoint Baptist Church, we're seeing great things being accomplished. 2021 was an incredible year. Families came in. People saved. Folks baptized. I mean, God is doing an incredible work here. How many are thankful for that? Say praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But hold on. So are we going to live in 2021? No, we can't. You know why? Satan's not done. Oh, he's going to fight us. Oh, he's going to be on our families. Oh, he is going to fight in this place. If he can't rip us apart out there, he'll rip us apart in this place. The enemy is here, and Ish-bibenob steps on the scene, and I'm going to take you out, and I finally got you, and you're tired. And we begin to look at this enemy, and this enemy really is incredible. I mean, this guy is ready to do battle. This guy is ready to take him out. What I love about this is we comprehend the enemy's going to keep coming back, but I want to put it this way. No, just hear me out. Do you know that the enemy never plays fair? Now, we're all about fairness today, and I get it, and I'm with you, like, absolutely. I want my kids to be treated right, and I want my family to be treated right, and I want things to be square. I'm all about fairness, but I do want us, hold on.
I do want us to comprehend that Satan's not going to play fair. No, he's not going to let us know. Do you think this was fair? Hey, Ishbibinab, you wait until the king is tired. Hey, Ishbibinab, girded with a new sword. That's massive. This isn't fair. Wait until the king is waxed faint. You know what that means? He's literally gone so hard. His probably his blood pressure's low. He's starting to black out. And they're basically carrying him. And here comes Ishbibinab. Boom, boom, boom. Through the guards. Here he is. That's not fair. Why didn't you get David at the beginning of the day? Why didn't you tell him you were going to have a new sword? Let's make this a fair fight. Let David get a new sword. You use your old one. No. Except I'll say, David's dead. You're dead. I'm going to kill you. It's not fair. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. Satan's not going to play fair with Crosspoint. Husbands, wives, he's going to wait till you're in a foul mood. He's going to put those thoughts in your head. Teenager, he's going to wait till you are tired and alone in your room with a device in your hand. And he's going to destroy your mind with pornography. He's going to wait until your guard is down and you haven't been in your Bible for a week and have somebody send that email or that message or that sister or that brother or that mom or that dad or that church member. He's going to wait until you're just a little bit low and bing, here comes your testimony just like that, lost forever. That's not fair. I was in a weak moment. How many times have we heard that account? It's like, well, I was just in a weak moment. That's why the Bible says we have to be sober and vigilant. The enemy's not going to play fair, friend. Well, they had a lot of baptisms last year. I guess we'll just back off. That's not how it works. Well, they've been in their Bible last week, so you know what? Why don't we just let them be Jesus people and we'll just leave them alone? That's not how it works. We had a good week. When my husband and I, my wife and I, we went on a date and I think things are doing good. And so I think Satan's done with us. Friend, don't you let your guard down. Well, I don't really understand my kids now. He said, I don't understand Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, so I just kind of let them do what they want to do. You know, I can't be involved. Oh, yeah, you can't expect me to learn it. Oh, absolutely we can. Why? Because they're worth fighting for. The enemy's not going to play fair. Satan's not going to be happy until this place is closed down and the doors are locked and nobody's in here meeting and singing about Jesus and nobody's fellowshipping and the preaching's not thundering forth from the Word of God. No, comprehend, friend. The enemy is not each other. The enemy is Satan, and Satan does not play fair. He's not satisfied with our past accomplishments. He keeps coming back. Oh, the experienced and oh, the enemy. But I want us to see, lastly, number three, the energetic. Look at verse number 17, if you would, with me. Look at verse number 17 here in this passage of Scripture. Look at what it says. The end, it says, a new sword, verse number 16, thought to have slain David. It's over, it's done. I got you, verse number 17. But Abishai, the son of Zariah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. And the men of David swore to him, saying, thou shalt no more go with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. The energetic, we see David go out. He goes to battle. He becomes weak. Ishbibinab follows him. Perfect opportunity. Now I'm going to take him out. But the Bible says, Abishai, the son of Zariah, helps David. And he kills this giant. The energetic, the younger, sees and begins to comprehend that someone needed help. Here's a man who knew his king, a young man that knew that David was older. He could have looked at him and said, well, I've heard of David. Man, David, I've been with you a long time. Seen you fight a lot of battles. The Bible says you have bloody hands because you're a warrior. You killed, I mean, as a teenager, you killed a lion. You killed a bear. You killed Goliath, a giant. You've killed many. I see Ishbibinab, and I see what's going on here, but, you know, maybe it's not my time. Maybe it's not my place. I just going to back off. And let David, hopefully you're in it. Come on, you're in it. You got this. No. The Bible says that Abishai stepped up to the plate. Families, there is a desperate need in our churches for a next generation to step up. There is a desperate need today in Christendom of this generation for some preachers and some deacons and some deacons' wives and some youth pastors' wives and some young people that would get in the church and maybe work a secular job, but get in and serve the Lord and step up to the plate. And there's a desperate need for Sunday school teachers and choir members. And there's a desperate need today for the energetic to step up. We live in this older generation, and man, they're getting tired in the fight. These men and many of these women, they've been in the battlefield for years, and it's time for the next generation to start standing up and start surrendering to the will of Christ and start fighting and start helping and start getting in this battle that you and I called life. When I look around, check it out, when I look around, when I see the Defoes, when I see the Tituses, when I see the Millers, when I see a Bob and Wilma, I see these who have been in the battle for years, when I see them, they've been in the trenches and they've been holding the banner high and they've been fighting for what's right and they've been fighting for justice and they've been fighting for morality and they've been fighting for purity and they've been fighting for holiness and they've been fighting for the Word of God. We've been fighting for marriages and they've been fighting for the next generations. When I look at them, I begin to wonder, who's going to replace them? Who's coming up behind them? Where are the millennials? Where are the younger people? You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if you noticed today, Brother Man Crony led the singing, and some Milligans that are playing the piano, and Miss Kristen playing the piano, and I don't know if you noticed 15 or so young people that were standing up and singing out to God today. Man, let me tell you, friend, I don't overlook that, and I just say, absolutely, it was a part of my plan, but I praise the Lord for a church that is generational. I praise the Lord that there's babies in the nursery today. I praise the Lord that there's markers and crayons that get on the wall. I praise the Lord that we have a younger generation, even of deacons, as I look around with so many deacons that are my age that are coming up, and I'll say, well, we'll just leave it to them. Well, I've done a pretty good job. Well, you guys have done it so well. You run it. We'll sit back, relax. This is not a time to relax, friend. Would to God we'd have some families say, we're going all in for God. What do you mean, Dad? We're going all in for God. What does that mean? That means this. We'll stop fighting all the other Christians. We'll start fighting the enemy. Yeah, but you know what they said? I know what they said. But you know what? Today's the day. It's done. We're part of God's team. Somebody help me out with an amen. What does that mean, Dad? Here's what it means. We're going to get our family at the altar. That means we're going to step up to the plate. That means we're going to start training and be the next deacons. That means we're going to get involved and anywhere that we can. We're not going to come in. Excuse me, friend. We're not going to come in and just fill a pew. We're not going to just come in and take up space. We're not going to come in and just play church. No, we and our families are going to come in. We're going to sing to Christ. We're going to sing to God the Most High. You and I are going to come in and we're going to get together as families and we're going to step up and we're going to hold the arms of those who have gone before us high and we're going to help where we can and we're going to seek the advice that we can get. And watch this, it is going to be generations and generations and generations and generations coming together, holding each other's arms, and watch now, fighting for the cause of Jesus Christ. For all those young ladies who sang up here today and every young teenager in this room, don't you wait till you're my age to get involved in the battle. It may be too late. Well, I've been praying about, you know, getting in the choir. I don't ever say it to me, because I honestly, at this point, care. I don't even know what that means. Like, I've been praying about tithing. Okay. I've been praying about, you know, coming to Sunday night services. You don't even need to pray. Like, I just tell you, do it. I've been praying about being a good mom. Okay, why don't you just do it? I've been praying about being a good husband, stepping up to the plate, being the spiritual leader. Okay, you can spend for the next 5 years praying for that. Or you and I could just step up and just do it. Anybody hear me today? Amen. We sit back, well, you know, Brother Titus, he's been in there a long time, Mrs. Titus, and we don't want to step on their toes. Now, hold on, I know I've gone a little bit over time, but I get to preach last Sunday night, so I'm going to add it to a little bit, and you don't worry about it, I'm the pastor. So nonetheless, okay, it's just a joke. Listen now, I don't want to step on their toes. No, there has to be a generation that understands. I have said it before. Don't use this word, well, we're just being put out to pasture. That's so foolish. Stop. No, it's got to be. Pastor Foe, I know I use you a lot, but you don't mind. Pastor Foe, there is hardly a service that goes by that Pastor Foe doesn't walk out those back doors and say, watch, I'm so glad you're my pastor. It's weird. Now, hold on. I know George says amen. Amen. But the guy's got 50 years on me. I respect and love this man. I look up to this man. That's a counselor in my life. Here's what he says. I'm so glad you're my pastor. You know what he could say? He would never, but he could say, well, when I was young, here's how we did it the old Eagledale days, and you're not doing it that way, so I guess I'm glad I voted for you, but, you know, I'm not real sure now. It'd be just, well, you know, in my days, I was much wiser, had a lot more degrees than you did. I'm just using this illustration, but I'll tell you something, that's not him at all. You know what he's doing? Coming together with the younger generation and supporting them. Pastor Foe, there's a mutual love that him and I have for each other. Why? Because we're on the same team. To everyone who is around my age, 40s, 30s, a lot of you, Ben in here with his family. Ben, I think you're 25 or 26, something like that, 22. Ben and his family, I saw some other younger couples in here. Come around this. There is a part of me at times that we're not the future leaders. We are the leaders. We've got those coming up behind us, and there's a lot of energy there. But I do fear at times when we start seeing men like Brother Miller, that's down at the state house each week every day, fighting for the rights of our kids and one day our grandkids. When he goes to retire or steps off the scene, who's going to take his place? When I look at deacons that I've got, like Brother Habing and Brother Mel and some of these men who have been in the battles for years, when I look at their life, Brother Mike Crampy, when I look at their life, I think, okay, when Brother Crampy steps off the scene or can't be a deacon for a year, who's going to take his place? Well, I guess we'll just have to pray him in. Well, we can do that or we can just step up to the plate. So, Pastor, I don't think it's really that easy. Like, I think you have to try out for choir. I think you got to, can you sing? Then let's praise God. Well, I kind of want to be a greeter, but I don't know. I'm kind of shy. Can you smile? Can you tell somebody where Sunday school class is? Well, let's get involved. Well, I don't know. This whole tithing thing, I don't know. You have money? Well, yeah. I mean, you got some money. Okay, well, let's just jump in. Let's just help. Let's just do it. Anybody with me today? Amen. Esther, 10 weeks. Moses could have gone 20 weeks. David, Joseph, books and books and books written about him. Abishai, not a whole lot about him. But when I look at these men of this passage of Scripture, the amazing thing is that it was the next generation that truly stepped up. Abishai, Sibbecai, Elhanan, and Jonathan. These are the men that slew the giant. You know who that? Whoa, hold. You know who that was? It's the energetic. Fighting with the generation that had already been there. The experience. Who were they fighting? The enemy. Crosspoint, don't let Satan get in this place. Don't let Satan get in your marriage. Teenager, don't let him get in your mind. This is our time and our fight and our culture. And that's our God. And he goes before us. Oh, friend. Let's get in and let's battle together against the common enemy. And that enemy hates us. But aren't you thankful we have the conqueror, Jesus Christ, that goes before us?